in. If you need help, hang up and then dial your operator. If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again. If you need help, hang up and then dial your operator.
In the
Everyone, welcome to the September 5th edition of the In and Out Show. This is your host, Slip Mode, along with trusty sidekick,
BR.
BR in the house. Okay, well, we just had, like, the most hysterical, like, you know, previous 5 minutes before this.
That was the pre-show show.
Oh, man.
Which, that's on our pay site, which is an exclusive domain, which we are not giving out at this time. Unless you post to the forum and say how great we are, and then we might email it to you, or we might not, depending on our given mood at that time. So thank you for continuing listening to the In the Now show.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm going to make a phone call here, because we're going to be having a guest here on the show. Hey. Okay, so.
What about call right back? Did he not understand?
I don't know. But he's calling the other line, which should be ringing here shortly.
Oh, goody. Oh, shit. Now we'll actually have some sound effects during the show.
Man, this guy has no clue as to like how much fun we've just had.
Yeah, you gotta be here to really, really appreciate the whole In the Now experience.
Yeah, plus it's 2 in the morning, right?
Yeah, and I haven't slept in like 23 hours, so.
Yeah, you just got back from a long trip.
Woo! Oh, what's that sound?
Ah.
Is that in my head?
Very loud stuff.
Oh, okay.
Wait, hold on.
Good, good.
Here we go. You there?
Yeah.
Hooah!
Hooah, right back to you.
All right, you're on. Well, this is, who is this?
Bangaria.
All right.
Bangaria what?
Bangaria.
Nice to meet you, Bangaria.
What is it?
This is Gray Area.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Gray Area. I didn't hear what he said.
Can you not hear me tonight?
Let me fix my phone. There we go.
Okay. All right. Well, it's Select VR and Gray Area in the house. And what have you been up to, Gray Area? You were just on the Bell's Mind Conf, weren't you?
Yeah, dude, I just came into a problem. I'm really upset right now.
What happened?
I just sold a laptop earlier today.
Not the laptop I've seen, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, I FTP'd all my docs over to this site that I have. And, you know, last night I was on the phone for like 6 or 7 hours just social engineering all these different operators. And I ended up getting like a bunch of like, you know, I got a bunch of numbers that were good. Like I was looking for an ANAC that told me the II digits, the class of service.
Yes. And, yeah, we were talking about
you know, I ended up finding like three pots that had ANAC, and I got another password for this one that tells you the billing telephone number. But, however, I lost all these numbers. I don't see them right now. I'm logging in to grab them because I was going to throw them out on the show, and I don't see them.
Wow. So it could be on the laptop.
Well,
I
could always do it again, though.
Did you wipe that laptop before you gave it to that person?
Yeah, well, no.
Well,
I only had it for a month, so you know what I mean?
Oh, I see. Did you get another laptop or what?
No. I don't want to talk about it on the air.
That's all right. All right. Well, we're going to move on to our first story here. Me and VR were just laughing our asses off, man. You wouldn't believe it. Okay. Well, we talked about this before. I guess we're just going to keep on bringing it up as it happens. U.S. raids NetSong swappers. U.S. agents have raided the homes of people who allegedly traded hundreds of thousands of songs, movies, and other copyrighted material over the Internet, attorney Gene says. Basically, it's kind of like this network that you have to have at least a gigabyte to 100 gigabytes worth of software, music, or whatever, just to even be a part of this network.
That's big stuff.
Yeah, actually, there's a few petabytes worth of data.
Petabytes?
Petabytes, which is...
Sounds like a small...
Above
voice.
Terabytes, yeah.
Well,
we don't want to know about that there, VR. We know it's late, but... Agents raided residences in Texas, New York, and Wisconsin early on Wednesday. This is back at the beginning of September here. And seized what they suspected were involved in a nationwide file trading network. The raids marked a sharp escalation in the years-long battle surrounding unauthorized peer-to-peer networks. Until now, the Justice Department has only pursued elite groups of hackers who steal and distribute music and software before their official release dates. Now, would you call somebody that swaps files a hacker? I mean, are people that, like, swap baseball cards hackers or what?
It sounds to me like they're calling them terrorists.
Yeah, well, they're definitely terrorists.
Well, just the whole wording of, you know, nationwide swapping network has the, you know, the air of, you know, Al-Qaeda cell throughout the nation.
Yeah, yeah, Al-Qaeda music swapping cells.
They're going to take down freedom by taking down the recording industry.
What's interesting here is this: authorities made no arrests, but Ashcroft warned that those who copy music, movies, and software networks over networks without permission could face jail time. We do not believe it is appropriate for the Department of Justice to stand by while such theft is occurring, Ashcroft said in a press conference. Peer-to-peer does not stand for a permission to pilfer, Ashcroft said.
Wasn't that witty?
I think it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's actually pretty witty. But
Or it could be for if it was P2P with like a T or something like that, it could be passing tons of porn. No. Okay. Targeted in raids for people operating hubs in a file-sharing network based on Direct Connect. An official at Direct Connect parent, Neomodus, wow, these names are getting exciting, was not immediately available for comment. In order to join the network, members had to promise to provide between 1 and 100 gigabytes of trade or up to 250,000 songs, Ashcroft said. They are clearly directing and operating an enterprise with countless illegal activity, or constances of illegal activity and condition of membership, the willingness to make available material to be stolen, blah, 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 blah. Each of the five hubs contained 40 petabytes of data, the equivalent of 60,000 movies.
Wow. You know, but just by calling it trade, kind of devalues the whole, like, theft.
The mysticism?
Yeah, it's a nicety. It's
acquired.
Yeah, I just traded it. I didn't steal it. It's kind of...
Hey, Greer.
It's misleading.
Yeah.
Who was on the board just now? I called up and, like, everyone was just being shady and quiet.
I don't know, man. There's some, like, party liners fucking calling on there.
What the hell? Is there any...
I don't know. I called this one party line last night. And I don't call party lines.
Everyone in gray area does not call party lines. But just last night you did.
And I went to this room and like everyone in there listened to the Evan Doorbell recordings from Bell's Mind.
Uh-huh.
I was like, what the hell? And like it was just a bunch of like hick people listening to the shit. Wow, that's crazy.
Wouldn't that be like file sharing?
Audio sharing?
Yeah.
That'd be audio sharing right there.
Yeah. So, no, there's no need. You know, there's no royalty paid on that.
You know.
Oh, beware, Ashcroft.
You know, like I said before, I'm not totally of the one that to agree to agreeing with like people just leeching everything and trading everything. But depends, you know. Like some things, like old video games, where the companies have like tanked, you know, and you're getting the ROMs for like your emulators stuff like that. I don't see anything wrong with that, and. A lot of those companies aren't even around anymore. And
like shit you bought a long time ago.
Yeah. And then, you know, and if you happen to, like, trade a few songs with friends or, like, maybe, like, you know, your friend's got, like, a movie and he's like, here, I'll copy it for you real quick. You know, I really don't see much harm in that. You know, if there's people out there just, like, majorly distributing it and stuff like that, then maybe. But,
yeah, because I can kind of see, you know, having a
petabyte.
Yeah, I could see that. You know, getting busted for that because that's just a copious amount.
Yeah, it's just way out there.
No, man, I wouldn't mess with movies. You know, I wouldn't want to have that one guy starve his family that holds the lights up and shit.
Yeah. talking about the RIAA, Jack Valenti.
No, yeah, you remember those commercials they were showing a couple months ago with like the
with the stuntman.
What is it, the PA? Like the production assistants, like people that hold up the lights and shit, and you know the.
Oh yeah, the crew had, you know, like the crews and.
Yeah, and the guy was like, "Yeah, if you steal movies, you're stealing my check."
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't think they're stealing a check from that man at all. They don't lower his pay because there's more file swappers out there, you know. And the major stars still get millions of dollars for starring in the movies. They're not, you know, if any star had to take a pay cut for the reason of there being file swapping, you'd see a lot more of those stars, like, on television music award or movie awards saying, like, you know, hey, you know, you guys better stop doing that because I didn't get the extra $1 million I should have gotten, you know. They're not, no one's getting hurt, really, in the pocketbook, like...
But you know,
maybe the distributors, like the actual, you know, film industry distributors themselves, getting hurt a little bit. But the actors and the actresses and the grips and the, you know, the set people and all the, those other people, I doubt is being touched whatsoever.
Well, that's what I, you know, like the whole star issue thing. It's like they're making how many, you know, multi-$1 million for 6 weeks worth of shooting. Well, it's a little more than that. It can be up to 6 months. But I would do that for. You know, like $100,000 and be, you know, really, really happy.
Yeah, for like a month until you realize the guy that got a part that's even crappier than your acting skills are just got $500,000 and be like, hey, I got needs here, pal. I need $500,000. And then you get stuck in that thing of, you know, trying to be the highest paid actor. Because
you're
the bomb.
Because it's all about one-upmanship.
All right. Well, this isn't going to work out for you, VR. You're going to have to turn off your webcam for this particular article we're going to be talking about.
Uh-oh.
Here. Yeah, a worm capable of using webcams to spy on users is circulating across the net.
Well, mine's always on anyway, so why should I care?
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, you know, it just distributes it to, you know, whoever wants to see it.
Oh, well, that really devalues my pay site.
Yeah, it does. It does. Yeah, this is towards the end of last month, August. Robot GR, the latest variant in the prolific worm series, spreads via network shares, exploiting a number of Microsoft security vulnerabilities to drop a backdoor Trojan horse program on vulnerable machines as it spreads. Basically, it takes over the machine and does whatever it wants to do, but it allows it to... watch any webcams or listen to any microphones that are attached. And also...
See, that's a brilliant virus.
Well, yeah, at least it's got some real good use for it.
Yeah.
What the hell was that sound there? Gray area?
It wasn't me, man.
Okay.
Are you in the water closet?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Are you dropping the kids off at the pool?
I think I know what that water is. It's got a pipe at the end of it. The Trojan component of the worm attempts to steal registration information for games and PayPal passwords from infected machines. It's a thoroughly nasty piece of code, so it comes as some relief that the RBOT G isn't particularly widespread. Oh, gosh.
What?
So, yeah. I have a webcam, but that thing is never plugged in. Well, sometimes. No, that's never.
Especially on those special occasions when he's feeling rather frisky and I'm nowhere around.
Yeah, you're on your webcam. Oh, man. We need to start doing shows this late all the time.
Oh, no, thank you.
Okay, and then moving right along.
Yeah, it is a good time, too. I'm always up until, like, the sun comes up and I go to bed.
Yeah. VR has responsibilities sometimes, though. I've got responsibilities when I'm always up.
Yeah, but that's because you don't sleep.
No, I don't. I really don't.
I spent too many years not sleeping, and now my body's like, no, you are sleeping now. Like, so
I kind of came up with this theory that, you know, people that have insomnia, they're just living in the wrong time zone, you know? Like, I'm living in Hawaii's time zone right now.
Yeah.
See, for years, I lived in Australia's time zone.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was upside down and backwards.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, when it was hot, I was cold, and when it was cold, I was hot, and then I was up when it was dark.
It's because you did a lot of acid, dude.
No.
I'm just kidding.
I don't need any acid, man. That make me normal.
Yeah, have you seen that show called Dog the Bounty Hunter?
No.
No, but I've seen all the previews for it.
Yeah, well, I was watching it last night because I just was flipping through. I didn't even know anything about it because I barely ever watch TV. I watch Discovery Channel, but...
Right on. All right. Well, that doesn't count as, like, TV. That's, like, educational shit.
Yeah, I actually called that guy last night. The number is listed in the phone book.
The dog is listed in the phone book.
The kind Bellbond.
The what Bellbond?
The kind.
The kind.
Yeah. It's in Hawaii. Waikiki.
Huh. So what'd he say?
Well, no, I was just trying. I was watching one of the shows, and they had they had some payphone phone number. They didn't know how to get it. They were like going out trying to look on all the phones to see if some suspect used a certain phone, and like sure enough, all the phones didn't have the numbers written on them. So he didn't know anything about ANAC, so I was trying to call him, and I told him, I was like, there's a better way to do this. I actually called him from his own number.
You called him from his own number?
Yeah.
That's funny. Which is probably good, because you're just proving that you actually know something, what you're talking about.
Well, anyone that's an 8-year-old kid could do it nowadays, you know?
Yeah. All right, well, this is a program that HP was still working on, but they decided not to release it. I really don't understand, like, this article. It's kind of strange, but I'll give you some of the details of this program. It's kind of interesting. And some of the reasons why they said they might not be releasing it in the near future. Basically, they have this program, and they call it Virus Throttler. And what it is it slows down the spread of a virus and worm attacks by limiting the network destinations that a virus-infected computer can attempt to connect to each second, according to HP. And the technology noticed changes in host machine behavior, which indicates a virus infection, and then chokes off the attack by limiting the frequency of the outbound communications from the host machine to the throttled communications with other hosts on the network. So basically, it's like an intelligent firewall and starts blocking activity once it sees it occur. Because it could be happening going outbound on 480, which typically on any home computer, even if you have some sort of firewall software installed, it's going to, leave it right open because you want to surf the web. So if it starts noticing something that's kind of a pattern of virus or worm activity, it's going to shut it down. And it may not shut it down, the program itself, but it's going to shut down the communications of that program and probably give you a warning. Then there's another software here that's called Active Countermeasures, and it's a network scanning service that spots vulnerable computers on the network using techniques similar to those employed by worms and viruses. So it's it's more like, instead of like intrusion detection, it's more like detecting intrusions and then letting you know what machines you need to take care of out there. And some of the reasons that they said they couldn't get release it is that some of the features needed for the program to run are not available in Microsoft Windows. And obviously they can't code the Windows itself because it's closed source. And they are having issues with making it work and certain things like that. So there's some incompatibilities, which I was kind of wondering why this article came out. It's kind of like, here's this new cool technology. It's not going to come out because Windows sucks. And then also it's saying that there is problems with being in network environments that have various settings or, various types of networks it has problems with. And then also it says here that it's working just fine in HP's internal network of 247,000 hosts. So I'm very confused, and I don't know why it's not coming out, but it isn't. And they said it may come out in the future, like 2005, 2006, 2007. So, sounds like a technology that would be great if they had it come out here sometime soon.
Wait, did they literally put 2005, 2006, 2007 and just keep going on like that?
Well, here, I actually kind of said that because, let's see, Host released a product in 2005, and then I remember reading something else in here in the article. It said something about another date. No, I didn't say it like that, though.
Oh, I was going to say, well, that shit changes. You know?
Yeah, they said they hoped to bring it out in 2005. So.
It's not like a concept car.
Yeah. Dude, there are so many cars, like, things that I've seen, that are concept or whatnot, and they make it, and it's totally awesome, and then they don't release it. I'm like, why not? You know, it's just...
Because it's like fuel efficient shit.
Yeah, it makes no sense. I mean, even if stuff like...
All they have to do is make it biodiesel.
Or what if they make it not fuel efficient, but have some of the, like, the cool features or, like, you know, other things that are out there. I just don't get it, you know. Actually, I think it goes along the principle of what I've said before in the past is, like, if Intel invents the 10 gigahertz processor and they know how to make it super cheap and they have everything in line to develop it and manufacture it and everything's ready to go, they're not going to sell you the 10 gigahertz. They're going to sell you the 3.5, the 3.7, the 3.9, the 4, the 4.2, the 4.5, the 4.7, the 5, you know.
Yeah, they're...
Fucking assholes. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cuss, but...
Well, they're maximizing their profit margin.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense to do that as a corporation. I mean, it gives you longevity and stuff like that, but for the consumer's end, it just really sucks.
It makes you like feel like a chump.
That it does.
We are all chumps.
We're all owned.
The only time I guess we're not chumps is if we're the corporation that's making all the money.
That's true.
So that's what it's all about. Be pissed off that you're not getting what you want in this consumer world. Go out there and capitalize and take over and monopolize and abuse and rewrite and be just like a few people we complain about on this program.
That's right. Become the bourgeoisie.
So, you know, I updated the forums on the website. I kind of took some of the stuff off there, like the hacking, even the freaking, because that's not exactly what we talk about here all the time. So I had a few other things that people can talk about. And I tried to change it subject wise, like there's a topic area for In the Now, specifically now. There was not
Yay.
One before. And you know, there's show topics, digital rights, corporate mayhem, and new technologies, which is a lot of things that we talk about here.
And political plunder. That should be one.
Political plunder.
Political plunder.
Well, yeah, we could add that. The software topics are the show topics was somebody could post some of the political plunder in there. But, yeah, we'd do more discussion in the other areas of the forum. Too bad nobody ever goes to those forums, but that's okay.
Shame on you.
Operating systems and software, we have that, and then people can talk about, because we do some open source stuff here, we talk about that, so people can go there. And, of course, there's the general area. So, yeah, check that out and go there and post to it. And... show your support for the show, and you know, get there's people that show up there actually every once in a while, and they post, they're like, hey, I'm here, I want to post here, great, and nobody else is posting, so it's very discouraging. And I could be there posting and having people, you know, getting interested and stuff like that, but you know, I could just be posting the whole damn site by myself, and that would be pretty lame. So
all right, next story there, Slip.
All right, oh, because you're all excited.
Yeah,
you just can't hide it. Okay.
That's right. I'm so excited.
Okay. Well, basically, we've talked about things like quantum computing in the past, and we've talked about you know, quantum computers made out of atoms, and you know, their rating system of measurement for the computational power is rated in qubits. Well, this is something that's a little different, and frankly, it's amazing because of the type of thing that they're using. Is a quantum computer basically made out of photons.
Really?
Yeah, and what they did was they linked 5 photons together. And the last show, back in like 2002, I even think it was actually one of our first shows.
Yeah, actually, I think that was back in 2001.
Yeah, we talked about how people had put together 5 atoms.
Well, I remember that that they figured out that you could link 2 electrons, and like if you know you put them in contact to each other. And if you spun one way, the other one would spin that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could be independent, they could be, you know, a billion miles apart, but they would act similarly.
Yeah, that works on the M theory, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's really neat is from this article, what I gleaned is that they figured out that they can do this with photons.
Yeah, which is incredibly unstable to me, right? I mean,
right.
They're not unstable, but they're not... They
well, that's the thing, is that's why they're having to do 5. They're linking 5 of them together for error correction purposes.
Wait, so this totally supports the M theory then, huh?
Yeah. And so what's neat is, like, they could do it with 2 and just have the communication process,
but they're using 5 because of the environmental factors. If there's if they're polarized and something else in the environment affects it or whatnot, they have, you know, a series of 5 with 1. I'm not sure how the 5th one comes into play, but that it has a tetra, you know, is it the, no, petra, petra redundancy, which is kind of nifty.
Here's the article. Quantum computers which use attributes of quantum particles like atoms and photons represent data promise to solve certain very large problems many orders of magnitude faster than any possible than is possible using today's computers. The challenge is being able to manipulate particles well enough to carry out computing, a key step in being able to entangle 5 particles, which will make it possible to check computations for errors and teleport quantum information within and between computers. Researchers at the University of Science and Technology of China, the University of Innsbruck in Austria, and the University of Heidelberg in Germany have entangled 5 photons. Our experiment demonstrated for the first time the ability to manipulate 5 particle entanglement, said Jianwei Pan, a physics professor at the University of Science and Technology of China and a fellow of the University of Heidelberg in Germany. Error correction uses mathematical codes to detect when a bit has been accidentally flipped and is widely used in classical computing because electronic and magnetic bits occasionally switch accidentally from a 1 to a 0 or vice versa. Quantum bits are more delicate and require an error correction method to be feasible. Researchers have devised many quantum error correction codes that can correct these errors and restore a qubit to its proper superposition state, but these codes require entangled multiple particles. Properties of the particles that are entangled remain in lockstep regardless of the distance between the particles. The simplest code calls for entanglement 3 qubits, but requires repeating the process twice using 2 additional sets of 3 qubits. The one-step code requiring the fewest entangled qubits uses 5. 5 particle entanglement is the threshold number of qubits required for universal error protection, said Pan. The researchers also used the 5-photon entanglement processes to carry out open destination teleportation, which can be used to describe the quantum use for distributed quantum computing. Quantum teleportation is akin to faxing a document and in the process destroying the original. Teleportation is the potential method of transferring information within quantum computers and can also eventually be used to transfer information among quantum networks. Teleportation, this is kind of the interesting part, involves using a pair of entangled particles to transmit the quantum state of a third particle. The entanglement pair is a split between the sender and the receiver, and the third particle is a teleporter to the receiver when the sender brings it into contact with his half of the pair. This transfers the quantum information of the third particle to the sender's particle, and then the process destroying the original. The sender measures his particle and then tells the receiver how he made the measurement. The receiver makes the same measurement on his half of the pair, which converts it into a copy and a third particle. And I'm doing a lot of reading here, but it's pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Open destination teleportation uses 3 or more entangled particles to teleport the attributes of a single particle into several other particles, said Penn. In our experiment, an unknown quantum state of a single particle is first teleported into a 3-particle superposition, and said Penn. At a later stage, this teleported state can be read out of any of the 3 particles, said Penn. Open destination teleportation makes it possible to transmit quantum information to any of the several processors within a quantum computer or nodes on a quantum network. One can choose which particle should act as the output. Researchers were able to entangle 4 quantum particles for the first time 7 years ago, and it will be more than 10 years before the technology can be used practically. Researchers have agreed that the full-scale quantum computers are 1 or 2 decades away. Full-scale quantum computers would render most of today's encryption technologies obsolete.
Oh, yeah. There's,
you know, like, I'm really glad this is, like, happening.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and it's been coming out in the news that things like this has been, you know, been going on in development for, you know, the last 4 years now. And I'm sure these things were, you know, well, usually things derived from stuff, you know, decades ago and stuff like that. But, you know, some real tangible...
Well, they just were able to figure that out 7 years ago. And they already have that, you know, into a practical model is phenomenal from a research standpoint.
Yeah, I think it was like the early 90s that IBM like arranged atoms in a way to where it spelled out like IBM. Yeah, it's kind of
That was back. Yeah, that was they were doing trying to. Oh, that was.
I think it was 94.
Oh, was that nano? Yeah, that was like the beginnings of like nanotechnology kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Hey, great.
So,
well, remind me again, what is M theory?
N?
Yeah.
Well, no, it's M. Because I was watching a special, and he was like, well, what does it mean? What does the M stand for? And he's like, is it magical?
Oh, it's M.
Is it something else? Is it something else? I don't know. I watch Discovery Science Channel a lot.
Okay, well, I must have missed that, because, like, when you're talking about, like, M theory, I was kind of thinking about memes, but...
Yeah, I was talking about string theory.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so, like, you know, just the unified field theory.
All right.
Which makes perfect sense now, so, great.
Yeah.
Going along in the lines of science and discovery, basically, there's been some mysterious signals that were detected by SETI.
Ooh, goody goody.
They were detected actually about in 2000.
My parents are calling me.
Yeah. They were detected back in 2003, but it's kind of being reported now.
That's probably because it took them that long to listen to it and analyze it.
In February 2003, astronomers involved in the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, SETI, pointed the massive radio telescope in Arecibo, something like that, Puerto Rico, at about 200 sections of the sky. The same telescope had previously detected unexplained radio signals at least twice from each of these regions, and the astronomers were trying to reconfirm the findings. The team has now finished analyzing the data, and all the signals seem to have disappeared, except one, which has got stronger. I think it's gotten, but they have got. This radio signal, now seen on three separate occasions, is an enigma. It could be generated by a previously unknown astronomical phenomenon, or it could be something much more mundane, maybe an artifact of the telescope itself. But it also happens to be the best candidate yet for a contact by intelligent aliens in the nearly six-year history of the SETI at-home project, which uses programs running on screensavers on millions of personal computers worldwide to sift through signals picked up by the Arecibo telescope. The most interesting signal at SETI at home, says Dan Wertheimer, a radio astronomer at the University of California, Berkeley, and the chief scientist for SETI at home, we're not jumping up and down, but we're continuing to observe it. Named SHGB02+14A, the signal has a frequency of about 1,420 megahertz. This happens to be one of the main frequencies at which hydrogen, the most common element in the universe, readily absorbs and emits energy. Some astronomers have argued that extraterrestrials trying to advertise their presence would likely transmit on this frequency, and SETI researchers conveniently scanned this part of the radio spectrum.
Well, that's true, because that would make sense, because any intelligence would have figured that out.
SHGB02+14A seems to be coming from a point between the constellations Pisces and Aries, where there is no obvious or planetary system within 1,000 light years, and the transmission is very weak. We're looking for something that screams out artificial, says UCB researcher Eric Corpella, who completed the analysis of the signal in April. This just doesn't do it, but it could be because it is distant.
Are you saying that they picked up a signal?
Yeah, they picked up an interesting signal, and they can't quite figure out what the signal is.
Well, yeah, because I'm like a radio wave, you know, like a neutron star can put out radio waves. But if there would be a lot of noise with it, and if it is this one specific frequency that has gotten stronger, which is kind of interesting. That's what makes it, you know, like all the rest of the noise has died out over the years. But it's this one specific frequency that has gotten stronger that, you know, that is at, like, the normal frequency of hydrogen. But that would, you know, that normally doesn't give off a radio frequency. So it's kind of like saying, it's kind of making something from nature, changing it into something that's, you know, intelligent, and retransmitting it.
We'll hear the answer to this. The telescope was only observed the signal for about a minute in total, which is not long enough for astronomers to analyze it thoroughly, but Kerpella thinks it is unlikely that SHGBO2 plus 14A is the result of any obvious radio interference or noise, and it does not bear the signature of any known astronomical object. That does not mean that only aliens could have produced it. It may be a natural phenomenon or previously undreamed of kind, like stumbled over. Basically, what it's saying is that it could be something new that we don't have out there that we understand.
Yeah, well, we don't know of anything that creates that frequency in nature.
It was, let's see, where's some more here that I read to this, because there's a lot of stuff here. Okay, there are other oddities. For instance, the signal frequency is drifting between 8 to 37 hertz per second. The signal is moving rapidly in frequency, and you would expect that to happen if you were looking at a transmitter on a planet that is rotating very, very rapidly and where the civilization is not correcting the transmission for the motion of the planet.
Oh, so it actually has like some redshifting in it. Oh, that's beautiful.
This does not, however, convince Paul Horowitz of Harvard University, astronomer who looks for alien signals using optical telescopes. He points out that the SETI at Home software corrects for any drift in frequency. The fact that the signal continues to drift after this correction is, he says, the aliens are so smart that they'll adjust their signal for their planet motion.
Well, maybe not. Maybe they're only, you know, like somewhat advanced as we are at that time that they're producing the signal. Just like we're listening for it, they're transmitting.
Well, he says the correction is fishy. Okay.
Hi, I'm the Bizarro Stormy. I'm the normal Stormy.
The relatively rapid drift on the signal is also puzzling for other reasons. The planet would not have to be rotating. Would have to be rotating nearly 40 times faster than the Earth to have produced the observed drift. A transmitter on Earth would produce a signal with a drift of about, I think it was 3.7 hertz per second. Unfortunately, the print cuts off there. What's more is if the telescopes are observing a signal that is drifting in frequency each time they look for it, they should most likely encounter it at a slightly different frequency. But in the case of SGHB02 plus 14A, they observed every observation has been made at 1,420 megahertz before it starts drifting. Says it just boggles my mind, Corpella says.
Well, that is strange to be able to. You find it at 1,400 hertz, and then it starts to drift.
And goes back.
That's weird. So that actually says something about, like, you know, goes on to the observe.
Some systematicness.
Like, the observe affects the observer, which is really bizarre in radio terms. So I'm kind of now starting to suspect it's SETI's program.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure what it is, but I'm sure they would have found out if it was SETI's program itself, where the anomaly comes from. But I think it's just something yet to be fully explained out there, and you can't really say exactly what it is yet.
You know, I was just flipping through the news, and I have my TV muted, and I see this thing falling out of the sky. Did you guys see this?
Oh yeah, it's the one transporter that's supposed to have solar atoms from the solar wind from supposed to have sun atoms from solar wind from the sun.
Yeah, they said that they didn't want to approach it because I guess when the shoots come out, initially there is an explosion, and they didn't know if the explosion happened yet because the shoots never came out.
Yeah, the shoots never came out, and this stunt helicopter pilot that actually was in the movie with Vin Diesel, XXX.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he was actually one of the helicopter pilots that was supposed to use this hook to grab the parachute as it was ascending onto Earth. But, yeah, the parachute's never deployed and all that stuff. So, yeah, it hit the ground at 193 miles per hour, and they're trying to make sure. I heard it
had to be faster than that.
That's what they said on television. So
I don't know, man. If I was walking across Utah and I see that thing falling out of the sky, I don't know. I would be running. Style. Not Men in Black, but the Independence Day Will Smith style.
Yeah.
You know?
So.
I'll get done with that jiggy shit. You know, I'll be dragging his ass across that desert and getting my money.
Get my money.
Give me my money. Where's the inquirer's office?
Basically. But yeah, they're trying to make, they don't know yet if the samples are still good in there. But they said it's surprisingly intact.
They said that they really doubt that they're going to be able to grab anything from that.
Yeah. Okay. This is something interesting. We got a few things to read. I'll just cut this short. But basically, if I can, yeah, on Yahoo Store, basically the French have Yahoo Store. Anybody can access it from all over the world. And the basically, there's a fight between Yahoo and the French, because the French courts for allowing the sale of a host of Nazi items, including copies of Adolf Hitler's Mein Kampf and materials alleged from the gas chambers of the Holocaust. Basically, it's saying that those types of items can't be sold in France, and they're wanting to ask Yahoo to not have those items on their site. And originally, and I'm doing some very good paraphrasing here, the court ruled that it was okay because, the Ninth Circuit, while noting that the Yahoo could still raise its First Amendment defense if French authorities turn to the U.S. courts to enforce their orders, said obeying other nations' laws is the price of doing international business. So, that's kind of an interesting subject to think about, is that some of these things that go on over the Internet might be a worldwide type service, but might be limited in certain areas. Like, I know forms of encryption are and stuff like that, but you're still able to complete your transaction. Maybe it's encrypted or non-encrypted. But, you know.
Well, that's the thing, is, like, there's a lot of stuff that goes on worldwide that's illegal here. And so, you know.
Yeah,
but we're
supposed to abide by them, of course.
Yeah, well, we do, or otherwise we're busted by our own country. So, you know, what's really the difference? Is France doesn't want to police its own people? What's up with that?
Yeah,
it's like that. Did you guys see that panda that was being auctioned off?
No.
And I believe it was Yahoo too. And it was like a real live stuffed panda.
Real live stuffed panda?
It was a
live stuffed panda?
No, you know, a real life.
Okay, real life. Okay.
Like a stuffed panda. And, you know, they're saying that, you know, they're extinct or whatever, but that's wrong. He's already dead, you know.
It was a taxidermy panda.
Yeah, taxidermy.
Okay. Well, what's wrong with that?
You know, I don't know. Same type of thing, though.
Well, you can still buy pianos and pool balls that are made from ivory. Woo-hoo.
You know, I saw on eBay the other day that someone was selling Actually, I saw it on the news. Someone was selling wind from the Florida hurricane, and they started bids at a penny, and like someone actually got it up to like $10.
They were selling wind?
That's brilliant.
Yes.
Dude, there are just some of the most insane things sold on eBay.
That person is my new hero.
Hey, VR, what was that? Didn't we just see a picture of something being sold on eBay?
Hey, yeah, look for a...
joke?
Oh, what was
used that? Panties.
Used panties? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah, that was a teapot on eBay.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Me and VR were looking at these funny pictures, and it was like this picture of a teapot, okay? Somebody took a picture of this teapot, and they're selling it on eBay.
Yeah.
It's this metallic teapot, and, of course, it has reflections
on
it.
It's shiny.
It's shiny. So you can see the reflection of you know, the light off of it. Well, the reflection is the guy butt naked taking a picture of the teapot, and that was on eBay.
and somebody took the picture and put a public advisory notice to all, you know, people who post on eBay, is make sure that
you realize you can be seen on these things.
That you put some clothes on when you're taking a picture of something shiny.
Oh, man. And let's see. Obviously, just going over some small notes here. Yeah, obviously, this people are moving over to cell phones and having less landlines. Gray area can attest to that.
Dude, I need a landline so bad. I want one.
I know.
Bad.
So you can stop calling me to back spoof. I mean, I love hearing your voice and everything, dude, but No, I'm just kidding.
But, you know, it's either you or it's my girlfriend's mom. And I got to call and be like, all right. What
the- yeah, can you tell me what number I'm calling from?
She's like, yeah, you're calling from some girl's name, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, okay, sorry.
Who's the last
guy? Yeah, she doesn't really understand about, you know, caller ID spoofing and back spoofing and stuff, so.
That was pretty funny. No, I don't mind. It's all good. Here's something interesting you might like here, Grayer. You ever heard of that star38.com?
Yeah.
I haven't heard of it.
It's basically this guy. It's kind of a weird thing. It's a really niche service this guy wanted to offer. Basically, he is offering a service that allows you to spoof your ANI to anybody. Okay, for only $19.95 per month. When you call through them, and it says 7 to 10 cents per minute, depending on volume. Basically, you would log in, you get an account, and let's see, the end of the number you'd like to call, you click the call button, your phone rings, you answer it, and then you are now calling the number in step 2 above, and when done, hang up. So you get a second dial tone. Then you dial out of that, and the second dial tone is the spoofed number that you chose. It's enter the number you'd like to call. So I guess, okay.
Do you mean to tell you what this is?
Yeah.
This is a AOL. For real.
It's AOL?
The AOL of caller ID spoofing. It's ridiculous. This guy... I guess he sold his company. I guess he made mad money off of selling his company because he already sold it. You know that, right?
He sold it like 3 days after it opened up.
Yeah, I guess he was supposedly getting a death threat call from underground hackers at his house.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. This is the stupidest idea I've ever heard of.
Yeah, no, and he would only allow people from like law enforcement or credit agencies, and his sales pitch was, hey, you want to be able to collect that money, right? Well, it's going to be a lot easier if they don't know who you are.
Well,
you know?
The thing is, look how much money he's trying to charge people. And he's trying to say that he doesn't use VoIP. You know?
VoIP is the only way to really do it, because there's no way he's going to get access to some telco equipment that's going to let him do that.
Yeah. And, like, the thing is that, I don't know.
Well, unless he built it.
It's really stupid. So it's period. Anyone who wants to read about it, go to bellsmind.net. And there's links to all the articles about it on there.
Oh, really? They posted
like,
up there?
Yeah, I guess he like made some post on VoIP info, and like totally sounded like a noob. And I don't know, but if you go to bellsmind.net, you'll see all the links on there. I think it's like it's either like yesterday's news or today's news. I think it was yesterday's news or something. It was updated, but yeah, it's just a really stupid idea. Like whoever bought it's gonna get owned. I don't know.
Yeah, I read it and the website. I mean, there's nothing even on the website itself. You know, it's just the weirdest.
I've been to the website. All right.
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing, and I didn't really understand it. I wasn't quite sure what the hell he was really trying to do.
I mean, if you were really going to set up a service like this, and like you think that somehow you wouldn't break some kind of law, even though it has voice or whatever, instead of making it like web interface, you can just easily put that fucking script, on there. Where you can set up like a calling card with like pins and all that stuff for the ostrich box, and then just have give out the pins to a client. They only have a certain amount of time that they can do it. But when they call in the number, it says what number are you calling from. You enter it. What number are you calling to? Then you enter it. You know, instead of having to go through that whole web like interface and then charge them so much money, you can at least make it easier for like users that are news anyway. It's just AOL, for the phones.
Yeah, you know what really should be done is actually you just spoof your number and then call them, right, so he can build a spoofed number, and then, then you're going out, it's like double spoofed, and then he foots the bill, so that's great.
Yeah, I wonder how they do verify. I wonder if they just verify through CPN or a VPN.
So, moving along to talk about Windows XP Service Pack 2. Which, hey, Grayer, you found out that if you install it on a machine that's not totally registered, it doesn't allow you to do much, does it?
I didn't find it out.
Okay. Okay.
Wait, which software is that now?
Okay, it's Windows XP.
Don't put that on me. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Hey, you don't even have that laptop anymore, so it doesn't matter.
I know.
Basically, if you have Windows XP and it's a pirated version. You know, you got it. You know, you got the serial number from someplace or whatever, or it's one of the blacklisted serial numbers because Microsoft detects that there's like, you know, 40,000 of that serial number out there on the internet. And if you install Service Pack 2, basically it doesn't allow you to add any new devices, and it only allows you to go to Microsoft.com.
See, I have a friend that just did.
I hear if you do it on the corporate edition.
He got a few boxes and he did fine though.
Well, some of those ones, like, I don't know, it depends on how the XP software is cracked. Like, some people put in the wrong serial number and run a crack, and some of them, like, I don't know. If you do the corporate edition, you don't, it doesn't affect the corporate edition from what I hear.
Well, I don't know.
But also, what this article is about and a few other things that we're going to talk about here shortly is that basically Microsoft is warning users of Windows XP software system to check for spyware before downloading the freely massive security update called Service Pack 2. Basically what it says is that some spyware could cause computers to freeze upon installation of the update. So it's kind of funny because the whole update is to like there to secure your computer, but if your computer has already been compromised, which you know it's not hard for that to happen on most Microsoft machines, and you got a few children surfing the web all the time, or you're a big Yahoo games freak, that if you install the security update, it may like not install properly, or it may make your computer crash.
Yeah, I got owned by the LSAS.
Oh yeah, I heard about that. So that's one of the benefits from moving to the more secure Service Pack 2. And then also, go ahead, Gray Air.
No, I hate getting the updates. That's why I got owned by the fucking LSAS.
Dude, you got to get the updates. I mean, even you got to get them. Even if they're making the computer crash or whatever, you know, you got to stay on top of the updates because in the end, it's going to be a little bit better. Basically, this group here did kind of review of the Service Pack 2, and they said that it's not as secure as it seems. We evaluated the security features of Windows XP Service Pack 2 in a test machine following a clean install of Windows XP Pro. No configuration changes. Everything's default. They did Service Pack 1 first, then they did Service Pack 2. While we found that there are indeed a few minor improvements worthy of acknowledgement, in particular the rather low-level improvements that don't show up to the user or the admin. Overall, Service Pack 2 did little to improve our system's practical security, leaving too many services and networking components enabled, bungling permissions, leaving IE and OE vulnerable to malicious scripts, and installing a packet filter that lacks the capacity for egress filtering. The new Security Center utility that is frequent, that with its frequent security alert pop-ups, will certainly give the users the impression that the Service Pack 2 is a security-oriented package, as Microsoft's PR boilerplate promises. However, the Security Center does little beyond warning users that the firewall is disabled, that automatic updating is disabled, or that antivirus software has not been disabled or not been installed. It may look impressive, but the Service Pack 2 package fails to provide several of the most important basic functions or modifications required to run Windows safely on an internet-connected machine. It lists some of the services that it still allows open, which is port 35 DC, NetBIOS on 137, NetBIOS on 138, Microsoft DS on port 445, NetBIOS session port 139. Error reporting is on by default, and automatic update is off by default, which is pretty lame. And then it has a list of some of the services that are on that just doesn't, either doesn't need to quite, does not need to be on, or is something that should be on and isn't on. So there's quite a few things that are on by default, but I don't know. I don't know if it's an article just trying to nitpick at anything to complain about the Service Pack 2, just to get an article out there to publish a report. It's still a Windows machine. There's a lot of things running on it typically because there's different needs for the user. I do think Service Pack 2 is a good thing, but obviously it's come with many problems in the process. So I don't know. And on top of it, the way I look at it, anything that Microsoft's going to do security-wise is not only going to make things a little bit more protected on your computer, but I think that they also implement another type of security that I'm not too fond of, which is Microsoft's own security of controlling what you do on your PC. And I think Service Pack 2 is the first... Actually, Windows XP is kind of the first implementation. Service Pack 2 is another big step. And I think Longhorn is going to be yet even a larger step, or when Media Player 10 comes out, and all the digital rights management and all that crap, and if there's things built into motherboard chipsets and stuff like that, and all this stuff has to be all secured and all this stuff. I don't know. This is my prediction. I think this is going to be like twofold. I think it just makes for new products and more crap and gadgetry to throw out there. And then after a while, it's going to piss off the public. And then what's going to happen next is they're going to scrap PCs altogether. You're going to get fiber piped to your house. And all you're going to do is pay for this, you'll put a monitor in your home. You'll get a keyboard and a mouse. And your monitor will have all these little holes to plug in all these little gadgets. But all your computation, all your rendering, all your applications and everything, all your storage will be at your friendly neighborhood ISP. And
you think?
Dude, I so believe that it will happen in like 20 years. That's my belief. I think that there's just going to be fiber to the home, and everything's going to be controlled, managed some other place. It'll be easier for the government to implement laws and control things. It'll be easy for
that's so lame.
People to, you know, comply to corporate and government laws and wants and needs and all this stuff, you know. But maybe there's a downside to all that, because it'd make it less money for the lawyers to go out there and battle. So maybe they wouldn't be too fond of that, because there'd be a few less cases, because there'd be so much more controls. Might make people like the RIAA who are happy, and music people and stuff like that, or the FBI or anybody that wants to look at what you're doing. And there's going to be all sorts of people protesting, and basically there's going to be a huge hobbyist club of people building computers, or continuing to upgrade older technologies and keep that alive forever. And I don't know.
You know what I noticed, man?
No, we don't.
Protesting, like, doesn't do anything.
What doesn't?
Protesting.
Oh yeah, we're kind of talking about that. You guys are talking more about it in the boards.
I was just thinking about that.
Wasn't it you I was talking to, or who was it? Decoder. What Decoder said about protesting.
Oh.
What did Decoder say about protesting?
I forget. He said something. I was hoping that you'd be able to help me out.
Oh, he said keep your money. Don't spend your money.
Yeah. Instead of going out there and wasting your time. I don't know. I mean, I think...
We've talked about that on previous shows. The best way to protest big business is don't buy their product. That's like... not voting for that candidate.
Yeah.
Of if you don't buy it, they're not going to make it. They're not going to do that service. And so that's how the consumer has control over the business sector.
Yep. All right. Well, moving along here.
That's why if no one bought at Walmart anymore, they would go away, and the mom and pop store would return, and the economy would boom again, and everybody would be prosperous
and
happier.
But America really likes those stores. They may say they don't like it, but they really places like Walmart.
Yeah, it's so convenient. But at the same time, that's one of the reasons why our economy yet is waxing. But no, it's still in a slump.
Well, if you vote for John Kerry, he'll make sure that there's less outsourcing of jobs, and he'll make sure that every child has health care and a whole load of other things that he's going to pull off in 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't understand. Like, different companies, they get to do what they want to do, though, right?
Well, they can do whatever they want, but I guess there are tax benefits. Are there tax benefits, or they're not tax benefits?
Well, that's the thing, is yes, there's tax benefits, because, like, you
could outsourcing, or?
Well, what I know of, what I personally know of, if there are some tax benefits, is that you incorporate somewhere else, but you still operate in the U.S. So you can actually do stuff outside of the U.S., but then sell your product here, and you're okay. And it's cheaper to do that.
Well, yeah. And you can pay the workers much less.
Right. So, like, Nike pays their, the people that make their shoes like a quarter a day.
but they come over here and sell them for $120. Now, pure and simple.
Yeah, even exploitation of the consumer.
Yeah, it's on both ends. But you know what? We pay it. You know, no one complains too much. But now...
I don't pay that crap.
Right. But now, what? Like, the only thing that I could see that Kerry could do is go, you know, Nike, we're going to tax the heck out of you and make your product pretty much, you know, unaffordable by 90% of America. Now, do you want to continue that behavior, or do you want to, you know, ship a factory, you know, create a factory here, and we won't do that to you? So they'll create a little 20-person factory making specialty shoes to pacify Kerry, and that'll be a small loss for them, but they'll be able to continue their multi-billion-dollar industry.
Yeah. I mean, I agree that there should be more jobs here.
Oh, yeah, we completely do. But at the same time, is that our cost of living and wage, you know, if more things were produced here, the things would be more expensive and unaffordable.
You know, what's funny is that we don't have laws really that much on outsourcing to other countries. I mean, we can, you know, we're allowed to.
Yeah.
And we outsource a lot of stuff to India. We've talked about, like, Dell doing tech support over there and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is India has laws about exporting. You cannot export your company to other countries for India. So, you know, it's just kind of funny the way some things are sort of operating out there.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, basically, the Wi-Fi Alliance has agreed that the WPA2 standard is a big improvement over earlier wireless security standards. It supports 128-bit, 192-bit, and 256-bit keys. And that's all a part of the 802.11i standard that's going to be rolling out here soon. So a lot of companies are jumping on to become certified compliant. Atheros Communications, Broadcom, Cisco, Systems, Intel, and Realtek. No Netgear in there.
Sorry.
And then our last story of the day here, night, day, whatever it is. XM Radio pulls PC hardware amid piracy concerns. I remember hearing about this device when it came out. It's pretty neat. It's a USB device that allows you to. It's a USB radio receiver for XM Radio.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Owners of the controversial PC radio receiver are making a killing selling their units on eBay following the unit's discontinuation over music piracy concerns. Because you're piping it right into your computer, which is really stupid because you can pipe any audio into your computer.
Yeah.
I mean, right now we're piping an analog telephone right into my computer and recording it, and it's going to go out binary and then encoded in MP3 and auto server. You know, it doesn't matter.
Well, see, what's strange is I actually have a regular radio device that plugs into the USB port. I've had it for years. I've never heard of it.
You've had it for years?
Years.
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 This must have been like some cool item that came out.
Yeah. It was really nifty, but what really takes me off is I bought it because I wanted to actually get AM radio. Doesn't have AM radio.
Oh, yeah. Do you see that baby over there? Do you see that?
Yeah.
That's AM, FM, UHF, VHF television, and tape deck. They have CD player ones.
Does it have CV? You know, is it Citizen or Shortwave on it?
No, Shortwave, though.
Oh.
I know, but it's close.
I had a friend that had, you know, one that did, like, everything and Shortwave.
I know.
I was just like... That thing was gone.
That's one of the only reasons I would ever go to Radio Shack, is that right there, because they sell those. Radio Shack sucks, other than that. Let's see. Basically, before quietly being discontinued this month, the XM PCR was one of the several hardware devices sold by XM Satellite Radio to give its more than 2 million customers a subscriber satellite radio reception in conjunction with a third-party software title called TimeTrax. However, the PCR lets listeners download songs to their personal computers. Since XM discontinued the PCR units, PCR, the units have fetched steep premiums on eBay. The device, which retails and stores about for $50, is getting bids of more than $350 in recent auctions.
Wow.
With sellers advertising the unit as discontinued and rare. XM declined to confirm the discontinuation of the PCR. We don't comment on when products are being discontinued or not. Let me say that in another way. We don't comment on when products are being discontinued or not. All right.
Well, that's really great PR of you.
company spokesman Chance Patterson said, "It's just a matter of policy." But a source close to the company confirmed the discontinuation, as did a distributor of XM hardware. "We did an order on August 8th, and they never filled the order," said Ryan Morris, owner of the site administrator of St. Louis-based XMFAN.com. I wonder how much he paid for that little plug in this article. "Then they contacted us and said they discontinued the XM PCR."
Well, I guess that would be logical for people that have dial-up.
You're saying because of trend? You know, I don't know how that TimeTrack software works. I don't know if I honestly don't know how that works. I don't know if they actually use the radio to download the data.
What data? What are you talking about?
Well, the songs. PCR.
I thought that it just picks up the signal.
Yeah, yeah. What did you mean by download, though? I thought you were saying that the PCR was...
Well, because, you know, I always stream music. Well, I'm just on my computer, you know. If you couldn't stream music like that, then you could just stream music with that. Without having to be on the internet, because you would be on a dial-up.
Well, no, the XM thing actually just picks up the radio from the satellite signal.
Yeah,
so
I think...
That's what I mean. So you wouldn't need to be on the internet. So
yeah.
People that have dial-up that's not always on the internet has a broadband connection.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't look at it from that perspective.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see, the Recording Industry Association of America has been paying close attention to XM radio, especially after TimeTrack's gained a following and media coverage. "We are very concerned about the variety of technologies that essentially transform performances into musical libraries," RAA spokesman Steve Marks said. "We have communicated our concerns to XM and other broadcasters and webcasters and told them that we'd like to work together with them to address technologies that hijack these performances." I like how they use such eloquent words.
Like hijack.
Hijack.
Yeah. Performance.
You're hijacking a performance. The quality. They make it sound like we're like robbing people that are like starving musicians and artists that are doing a play, you know, in the neighborhood for the poor kids, you know, like.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's youth theater that you're robbing from. These poor starving children have to, you know, dance for their bread.
Look, that's the way we do the In the Now show. Do you see how much crap is out there? I mean, do you see, like, all this crap that is out there? You know, and all it is, like, every product, you know, that's coming out with some sort of technology and some sort of medium to where you can spread that, you know, have access to that technology in more than one place, you know. It's like every time they release it, they're like, "Here, consumers, enjoy this. But don't do that." You know, and it's like, I feel like I'm just being, like, It's like having two parents, and one says, "Slip mode, it's okay to do that. It's good. That's what it's all about." Then the other parent says, "Slip mode, don't do that. You're not supposed to do that. Put that down." You know, and it just pisses me off, you know, that I have to hear this crap all the time. Like,
well, it's no wonder that most people are neurotic anymore, and I'm becoming neurotic because, you know, yeah, you keep getting blasted with hot and cold messages on it. On a regular basis for everything you do and everything you've done.
They're like, "There's this iPod, and you can share these songs, and you can go all over the place and play it on your radio." You're like, "Cool, having songs everywhere is great." You know, and then it's like, you know, "But you, like, did this way," and all this crap. And, you know, it's just like, it's just a headache, you know. And some things, like I said, are really minor, you know. Like, Greer is like, "Hey, there's this movie I have. It's cool. Like, I'll just burn it up for you, and you can... you know, take a look at it. Maybe just, you know, just some movie, you know. It may not be like Lord of the Rings, something that just came out. Just any plain old
game
movie."
Hey, don't put my name in that.
Well, you know, it's all hypothetical. and obviously they don't have any prosecution for that because it's not viable for them to really do that just yet. So they go after the big guys. And the big guys are the ones that are really doing the, you know, really are the ones doing the abuse. But once they put that, you know, Windows Media Player 10 in your computer, or they start, you know, getting all those Longhorn controls in that computer of yours, you know, it's going to be like, "Hey, Slip, where'd you get this file, buddy?" Because,
Wait, didn't that like, 7-year-old girl get sued for, like a lot of money? They ended up settling for $2,000?
I know.
Like for, 7 years old or something?
I know.
I think she was 14.
I know. It was like a 15 or 14-year-old. Their family had to pay out $3,000. $3,000.
Yeah.
Do you, like, you got to, yeah, you actually need to think about the you know, the impact of like, oh, okay, like, what's the punishment here? We took $3,000 for the parents. No. Did you take $3,000 from the college fund? You know? And is that going to, like, set the child back a year before they get into college? Or is that going
to,
like...
Or is she going to have to go work at porn for a little while to pay for her books?
Yeah, work porn for a while. You're just trying to hire someone here, Bill.
No, like, here's some real repercussions from the legal industry. They're like, yeah, we punished her. Well, what did you really do?
Yeah, and then how does that, you know, negative effect, you know, spread out somewhere else in society, you know? It's just...
Yeah, hey, I got something kind of off the topic here.
Right on.
I'm looking at the TV, and I don't have the volume on. And I see something real quick, and it says they're banning assault rifles. What is that?
Oh, come on. They can't...
Well, they've already essentially banned them. You say
that my AR-15 is going to be illegal?
Well, they've pretty much been illegal unless you're a collector.
No, you can get
them. No, that was a pre-ban.
Oh, okay.
You know, like the ones that they did that are fully automatic.
Yeah, the fully automatic ones, you have to...
Yeah, those are the ones you need to have a permit. But I've seen this new stuff on the news saying on Monday they're going to get rid of assault rifles or assault weapons. But I'm seeing here that they're showing like pictures of Uzis and stuff like that. That's already banned.
Well... Yeah, you can. Well,
you know anything about that? Have you seen anything?
I haven't seen anything about that.
I haven't watched TV in like a week.
I honestly believe that there's no like, you know, there's certain things that don't need to really be out there, but you know, cigarettes shouldn't be out there, and neither should beer, you know, and like, you know, because it does have negative effects, you know. And
you know, then styrofoam shouldn't be out there.
Yeah, it's styrofoam.
And neither should fossil fuels.
Yeah, and compression.
Neither should nuclear power and hairspray.
Yeah, you know, just because assault rifles, it's not like you can hide those things very well. I can understand like a little teeny Uzi that you can fit in your pocket and it can be like automatic and you just pull it out. You know, not in your pocket really, unless you got some big pockets. But you know, you can conceal that pretty well. Like I can see that there's some more argument for that. But then where do you, like, really draw the line, you know? And it just gets very faded and it's very jaded. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. I honestly believe that we should have a right to assault weapons.
I'm almost to the extreme where I believe that we, that the American citizen, should have access to whatever, almost whatever.
Wait, I don't understand. Are they going to take my gun that as of now it's legal, but as of after Monday it's not going to be legal? Are they going to take my weapons?
You talking about that shotgun?
No, not the shotgun. I have an AR-15.
I don't think you can take it now.
Actually, they can't. They really can't.
I don't think so, dude.
Yeah.
Because you already have it.
It doesn't matter. Does not matter.
Were you supposed to go down to the local AR-15 collections agency and turn it in for free?
Let's say, let's say pipe bombs are illegal. And they go, okay, tomorrow pipe bombs are illegal. Well, guess what? You have a pipe bomb tomorrow. You're in possession of illegal property.
Yeah, I still don't get that, though.
Yeah. But see, I'm under the impression that whatever, you know, like our right to vote is our way of doing peaceful revolutions every 4 years in the political government. Now, why we are allowed to vote and why that actually means something is because we were actually armed and able to do a non-peaceful revolution of the government. And that's what allows us to have a right to vote, really, in the real world of things. Otherwise, it's just a purely social contract that anyone can break at any time.
And I want to know who the hell made that decision, you know? Like, I honestly believe it shouldn't be something that Congress just votes on. I think it should be a vote put up to the public.
It should be an act.
And you know what? The more I cover this whole election thing and I get it into more about just, like, listening to what's going on in politics, every time, I just get so pissed off at the fact that the Electoral College exists.
Yeah.
There is absolutely no reason for that damn thing to exist anymore.
What did you say, the Negro College Fund?
The what? What
did you say?
The Electoral College.
Oh.
You know, what's really funny is, like, I was listening to...
The Electoral College originally was because they weren't able to tally votes and send all that information fast enough back in the day.
It would have taken months to do an election. Actually, it probably would have taken a year to actually do it.
And nowadays, you know, it's just ridiculous that we have that. I don't understand that. Oh, the country says we want this, but the Electoral College says we want this. What the hell is that?
I know. That should be a no-brainer of that, you know, that's what the popular vote is. We live in a democracy.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Electoral College is, okay, well, I've got all these phone numbers here, bud. You can call them up and say, so who are you going to vote for, huh? Okay, so what's it going to take for you to vote John? Okay, so what's it going to take for you to vote Bush? Come, you know, give me a break.
That's a little bit of it, yeah. You know what really ticks me out? I was listening to Loveline the other night, and they actually have a commercial on there that's like, "Where have all the children gone?" You know, it's talking about like, you know, not one more child killed by handguns.
Dude, they're surfing porn right now, is what they're doing.
You know what's really funny is there are like 13 children killed, like, you know, every day by swimming pools and drownings in the country. Let's outlaw pools.
Oh yeah. Let's outlaw pools, you know. But the only problem is if we see, you know, if you're some top-notch big guy in the world of the United States here, and you got a lot of money, maybe you're a corporate exec, maybe you're a government official, maybe you're Bill Gates, whatever. You want your damn swimming pool? You're okay with getting rid of some of your Uzis, you know?
That's
don't take away my swimming pool, you know. actually, I'm sure that you know. Actually, I'm pretty sure that. All those rich people would certainly be pissed off if they got their Uzis taken away, actually.
Yeah. Well, they have enough money to, you know, get the exempt tags and all that.
Yeah. But the super, I want to be totally politically correct guy says, I can get rid of my Uzis. Swimming pool? No, we can't do that. We've got to find a way to blame the parents. You know, and be like, well, I'm sorry. It's just a damn pool, you know. It's accidents happen. You need to put a damn fence up. You need to, you know, you need to devise some sort of locking mechanism, make sure those things always lock when the gate closes, you know?
But, you know,
actually, you just
so
need
ugly
to teach your child to swim
so
earlier.
That damn gate.
Was that gray area?
Yeah.
What was that? We didn't hear.
It cut out.
No, I'm saying, it's just, the offenses look so ugly. It takes so much time just to open up the gate, you know?
Oh, yeah, you just want to run from the door and just hit the pool uninhibited.
Oh, you know what? Here, this is really great. I was watching, it was like Motorcycle Madness, whatever, on Discovery Channel, and who's the guy that does the West Coast Choppers?
That's Jesse James.
Jesse James, yeah, I totally skipped my mind. Jesse James built this bike for himself, and he had Kid Rock on there, and they built a bike for Kid Rock, okay,
yeah.
And they were driving down to Mexico.
Uh-huh.
And they go down, and it's this one area, I forget what it's called, but it was this, you know, beautiful view, and it was like, you know, like a cliff, you know, like a big valley, kind of like going to the Grand Canyon. You had this thing, and you're overlooking, you know, standing at the top of this cliff, and you're looking at all these trees, and just the whole area. And, you know, Jesse was talking about how great it was that he was being able to admire this monument or this area of nature without any fences, without, you know...
Any boundaries.
Any, you know, yeah, boundaries and being prohibited and all this crap. And he says, you know, because he's out there standing on this rock that wobbles, and he was messing around like, whoa, you know, come out in the rock, and, you know, it's kind of scary. And he's standing out there and trying to, you know, see if he can balance on it and stay on there. And he's like, I'm out here enjoying this thing. And he's like, you know, if this was, you know, back up, you know, in the United States or whatever, he's like... You wouldn't even be able to stand out in this rock, and you wouldn't be able. There'd be fences, and there'd be buses, and
handrails, and it'd be cemented, you know, down solid.
Yeah, and he's just like, you know, and he said the safety police would be taking over, and he's like, that's what I like about being out here right now, because he's like, there's just too much of that going on.
Yeah,
and it is, you know, the safety police. That's why I said, you know, they. Trying to save you from yourself, you know. It's a lot of it's from these fraudulent lawsuits that people are trying to make a quick buck. So they're like, well, in order to stop that, we're going to put in this, you know. And it's just, America's really going to rip itself inside out if they don't stop. And they're not going to. They're going to continue to go down this path.
Until it becomes so repressive that you can't do anything anymore, and then things will change.
Yeah. And then it basically will, I think that something will happen in some other portion of the world and we'll be the, you know, the crap of the...
Actually, I really believe that there will be a massive revolution here eventually. There has to be. In the historical you know, methods, you know, of traditional ways of power, we are heading for a massive revolution.
Yeah, a lot of people are getting pissed off.
The what?
I said it sucks too. It has to be like that.
Yeah, but that's. But what's really neat is
it all happened since Tupac died.
No, I'm big goater. That we actually do have a really good balance of power between the Republicans and the Democrats, of between this, you know, between laissez-faire and socialism, is we are really kind of like doing a precarious balancing act. But at the same time, if we are moving in the directions which is going to make us even more precarious and not solid.
Because it's like basing things off of this law and function instead of like real humanity after a while. You know?
Right. It's gone way beyond like human, you know, what is human to exist in a free and libertarian society.
Yeah, and you go out and you have to be so limiting, you know, when you go certain places. Like, that's the problem with my personality is I happen to say stuff that frankly shocks people sometimes. And you know, I can open my mouth.
No, that's just when you walk in the room there.
Oh, yeah. You know, because I'm filled with static electricity. But, you know, you know, I've had an issue with that. We're saying certain things and people are just like, whoa, you know, and you know, in corporate environments, you basically have to mask anything personal about yourself and, you know.
Have to be a good little drone and clone.
Yeah, and sit there and do that. So.
Yeah. This is what the show's all about.
Well, yeah, it is. Definitely.
That's beautiful.
I don't know, man. I'm really upset that I've lost all that information from last night.
Yeah, I'd be too, because you do that manually, right?
Well, no, I just was sitting there. I was just bored. And I was like, you know what? I'm really pissed off. I'm going to get this shit taken care of. And, you know, I sat there for like, you know, a good 6-7 hours calling all these different operators.
Yeah, manually.
And, you know, I never transferred my text file when I was done.
You know what's funny is usually people get stuff done when they're pissed off.
That's right. You know, anger is a great motivator.
Well, see, the whole thing started out is, I don't know, some of you may know, the 1-800-555-1140 and the 1-800-555-1180, they were ANAC that everyone would use, and they told you a class of service, you know, like if you're calling from a payphone or if you're calling from a POTS line, that being like a plain old telephone service, or if you're calling from like a cell phone or like a prison phone, or like a VoIP phone, whatever. They have different, you know, codes, like II digits that would, you know, tell you what the class of service is.
Yeah.
And, you know, for the last couple months, they've been busy. Not a reorder, but busy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone just automatically assumed, like, yeah, they're down, blah, 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 they don't work anymore. And, you know, I'm the type of person, I don't think things are like that right away. You know, I think that there's possibilities that other things could have happened, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Well, thing is that if you would call that number, you would get a dial tone after all the information. Off that dial tone, there was only two numbers you could dial. You could dial 1-800-555-1140 or the other number. And what would happen is it would connect the line. So the line would stay connected until you hung up. I thought that there was a possibility that someone could have figured that out as well. And set up a couple phone lines and just had those numbers connected to themselves and just had them connected before they're busy, costed MCI mad money out the ass. You know what I mean? That's
yeah.
A good possibility. So, you know, I get on the phone, I'm trying to break that busy, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, who owns the number and whatnot. It finds out MCI owns the numbers. A lot of people know that. However, they leased it out to this company called First Data Voice Services. Well, I Googled around for the company. I found their company. You know, I went around, I was looking, and I scanned out some of their exchanges, and I found a bunch of their, like, employees shit, whatever, their voicemail boxes. Well, you know, it ends up on the voicemail boxes, it says, for if it's an emergency, call this number. And if you call that number, it's like the repairing shit, like whatever. I don't know. There's some crazy intense company. But yeah, it's First Data Voice Services. When I called them up, you know, they told me that the numbers were some test numbers for another company that supposedly went out of business. They don't exist anymore. They went out 60 days ago, and the guy was all, yeah, send me an email, then I'll send you over the new numbers for something else if you need to check your class of service.
Uh-huh.
It went as like company email, and I don't have that, so. Anyways, I called Sprint. Sprint gave me an ANAC. It was like a POTS line ANAC, like, you know, not a toll-free. And then I called up MCI. MCI gave me a POTS line ANAC. It was their ANI verification line. I'm sure some people probably have it. And then I called up Quest. Quest had it in front of their screen. They didn't want to give it to me. So I'll get them. But I called up AT&T, and then they gave me a toll-free one. It's the billing telephone number verifier. It tells you, like, your real-time ANI, you know, the billing number. But you need passcodes for that. And the lady, like, straight up gave me a new passcode. I already had that number, but she gave me, like, a new passcode.
Yeah.
She didn't ask me to verify anything. I didn't act like I was anyone. I just, you know, was talking to her, and she gave it to me.
Yeah, a lot of people, if you talk to them, you're very comfortable with them, and you're like, hey, yeah, just da-da-da. And they're like, oh, hey, ho, you know, and they just, you know, don't even think about it.
Yeah, but the only two that didn't give it to me was Quest. But I only called them, like, four times, so.
Just a little bit of harassment there.
I actually got owned by one of the ladies. She was like, yeah, I got the number, but let's see, because I know that other people use this number. Let me see if I'm allowed to give it out to you. And she went and asked her manager, came back, she's like, yeah, I'm not allowed to give it out to you because it costs us money when people use it. You got to be a service tech to get this number. Well, I hang up and I call back, and I'm like, here's a service tech 1002, blah, blah, blah. And it's the same lady.
Oh.
Like, sir, I just talked to you like 2 seconds ago.
You're like, well, give me, you know, give me it just for trying, you know?
No, I was like, but you said.
But you said.
Now I'm a service tech. Listen to my number.
Grayer, you're recording all this stuff, right? You got to play, like, the best of Grayer's moments on your box.
Yeah, I was actually on Bell's mind on that. No one was on there, because I was up, like, late at night.
It'd be like the Jerky Boys, but, you know, it'd be like that.
Yeah, I actually have the Jerky Boys on my box.
Right on.
Oh, yeah.
I used to do some phone sales a while back.
I thought you were going to say sex, because it's a phone. I was like, no.
No, but, like, most of those guys, you know, that I used to work with made the Jerky Boys look like my grandmother. Like, phone sales, you know, like...
And she's hot.
And, like hardcore, like, telemarketers.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, are those people just, like, witty, and they can just, you know, bash people. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, half the time I couldn't work because I was laughing too hard.
Oh, man. I've seen the worst things with telemarketing, dude. Like, that you said sales, I don't know. Telemarketing, right?
Yeah, it's telemarketing.
Yeah, telemarketing.
This oh, guy, my gosh, yeah.
This
I
guy was...
a telemarketing job. And when I worked at this place, I had it all set up to where I was like, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get this plant. I'm going to get this chair. I'm going to get all this shit. I had, like, my whole skate park up at my desk. I had a Dreamcast up in there playing off of one of those DVD players. And, yeah... I would just go nuts and, like, spam, like, different people. Yeah, so Steve Johnson from blah, 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 blah.
Jeez. Yeah, this guy next to me, he's just like, talk. You know, this company was so strange. I worked telemarketing one day and I quit, you know. They had, they were calling people in, like, the Midwest. Everyone seemed to be on fixed incomes. They all lived in the middle of nowhere. They're on farms, and they all seem to be, like, 45 years of age plus. And we're calling them to sell them equipment that was made by blind people.
Yeah, those are bad leads.
Those are just the worst leads known to man.
I know, but there's this guy next to me selling them like crazy because he said, oh, the Lord thanks you, and he's using God in everything, you know?
Yeah. I still have all my leads. When I left, I took my box. I was like, fuck you, I'm taking my box.
But
I was
yeah.
like the only person in there, and I was like, who's coming with me?
You know the hottest chicks? Well, some of the ugliest, but some of the hottest chicks work in telemarketing for some reason.
Yeah. I know I work for...
Well, it's because they don't get hit on all the time.
Yeah.
Doing a technical support for this one particular wireless company. And what I would do is, just for fun, because I come back from a lunch, I pull a sesh at lunch, and I come back, and I would just... it's pretty mean. It's pretty cool. I'll probably get karma for it later. But I just laugh when I get karma for the phone, because I don't mind waiting on an IVR. But I never have to wait on IVRs anyways. But anyways, I would get the call, would come in. I would already have... We used an application called Speedbar. It was just a, like, soft phone. And I would already have the number to our main IVR in the number. So when I get the call, when the call would come in to me, I would put it on hold so they would hear the music again, press call, and in conference. My line would be muted so they wouldn't hear me. What that would do is throw them back to the beginning of the call, and they would have to enter their information again, their 10-digit numbers and their zip code. And then I would have them wait, and then they'd wait, and then as soon as the call was about to go out of queue and get answered, I would throw them back on hold, disconnect that line, call it back again, throw them back to the beginning of this. I'd do that like 8 times. They'd be so pissed off that they would have no idea. And then by the time they would get to an actual rep in my office, they'd be so pissed off and they would go off and, like, you know, it'd be someone sitting next to me would get the call. I'd just start laughing. I would just listen to their call.
Oh, man.
And they'd be so rude to them and they wouldn't know how to handle it.
Am I glad you don't work at that company anymore?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we're going to wrap up the show here. We did do that call for people to let us know if they'd like us to go to a weekly show. And we only got one response. And they said, yes, of course. We'd love to have it happen. But it's actually Thought Criminal.
Yeah. More props out to Thought Criminal.
Yeah.
Thanks for actually caring and being excited.
Yeah, definitely. He likes the show. So, you know, we didn't get a lot of response out of that, even though we did have 240 people download our last show. But
for all we know, those could be all FBI or CIA agents.
Yeah, they're all looking.
So we really don't know who listens or if, you know, those are just some bots that download everything. So give us a shout out.
Yeah,
see if you'd like to hear more
Kane
from
Ryan
us.
Kane Ryan Marlowe. That's my name.
Yeah, my name is Brian Marlowe.
Yeah, Kane Ryan Marlowe.
So, you know, we'd like to do a weekly show, but, I mean, honestly, we need to hear more feedback or anything like that. So, you know, once again, go to the website, slipknot.org, hit up the forums, register there, post, you know, you're going to make this much more exciting if you participate as well. And there are people that do go there every once in a while, and they're like, yeah, I'm ready to post, I'm here, I'm excited, and no one is posting, you know, so obviously they're not, you know, nobody else is going to want to post.
It was just thinking for Thought Criminal, if he's like the only one that wants, you know, like a weekly show.
Well, he's the only one that lets us know.
Yeah, well, if, you know, we don't get any, we could actually maybe do a conference call with him and we can just like chat once a week.
Yeah. I don't think he likes you or me that much.
Oh, whatever.
Get his own personal call. I don't know. But anyways, that's the show. And so I'm going to be signing out here. And DR, you're going to be signing out here?
Yeah, remember to count your socks before they go in the dryer.
Yeah, because where the hell do they go?
Well, I have a whole theory about that, but
yeah,
that's a whole nother show.
No, they always end up in somebody else that lives with me's drawer, and I know that because I buy different socks than whoever I'm living with.
Oh, well, see, I buy all my clothes in bulk. Mm-hmm. And I have this whole theory that what the sock manufacturers do.
In the morning, you're like, I want to go. People, you're so excited about this. All right.
Yeah, that the actual sock manufacturers treat every sock differently with the chemical that after so many washes, well, the first you have to go with the preference of that everything in the universe is expanding at an exponential rate.
Oh,
and the sock manufacturers have figured out a way to stop that in combination with laundry detergent and fabric softener. And so after they've been washed and dried so many times, that they're all treated a little differently, so they all stop expanding at different times. And that's actually where you get a lot of lint from, because they're really microscopic little pieces of sock.
You know, me and you watch the same TV. you just remember it.
Wait, where'd you hear that?
Well, no, I'm always watching crazy stuff like that. Just about weird stuff. Like, earlier today I was watching about how, like, TV shows were, like, sent up with microwaves to helicopters and sent down.
Well, actually, that thought, as far as I know, is completely original to me.
Oh, really?
Yes. That was, yeah, that
I'm
was...
I'm too tired to think of my original thoughts right
now. Well, I was saying things on the same lines.
Well, yeah, there's some theories out there that are similar, but
you guys know we're doing an hour-and-a-half show right now.
Oh, God. Well, that's not as bad as that three-hour show, but that was a whole lot of fun, too.
That was September 11th. It was a three-hour show, I believe.
Well, there was another, like, the first show that we did in Dimitri's studio.
Yeah.
And we were all like...
That was nice.
And we were all like slap happy on liquid nails.
All right. Well, this is Slip Mode signing off. Be back in 2 weeks. And
yeah, I'll be here as well.
And
hope to hear from you on the forums.
And gray area out there?
Yep, two in the pink, one in the stink.
That's the best ending so far.
That's right.
All right, we'll see everyone in 2 weeks. See you then.
Hey.